Welcome into today's edition of Just the Truth. Glad to have you join me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. Here are the headlines for today. Michael Cohen, who served as former President Trump's personal attorney, testified in Manhattan court that he had used his own funds to pay former pornographic actress $130,000 to quiet her claims of an alleged affair with Donald Trump back in 2016. Also, Michael Cohen admitted that he secretly recorded the president ahead of the 2016 election. We have an update on day 16 of Donald Trump's New York trial. California's secret 50-cent gas tax hike coming in the next 2 years, according to Republican members of the legislature, is just the beginning of making gasoline-powered vehicles obsolete. And the dream of owning a home is becoming just that, a dream. According to the National Home Price Index, U.S. home prices have surged 47% since the start of 2020. And could being online actually be good for you? A new study reveals a surprising finding. We have all of that for you today.
I told you we'd be back.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's Joey Hudson.
I wanted to name it the Joey Hudson Bill, but you know, they don't allow you to put names on bills, but I wanted to call it the Joey Hudson Bill because I know that one's been near and dear to you for a number of years.
That's how it's done. Let your voice be heard.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here's Joey Hudson.
Michael Cohen, who served as former President Donald Trump's personal attorney, testified in Manhattan yesterday in the court trial of Trump that he used his own funds to pay a former pornographic actress $130,000 to keep her quiet. Cohen took the stand in New York versus Trump on Monday, where he told the court that as the 2016 election came down to the wire, he took out a line of credit on his own home in order to pay Stormy Daniels $130,000 in order to execute a non-disclosure agreement and obtain rights to her claims of the affair. Daniels alleges that she had an affair with Trump in 2006 during a celebrity golf tournament in Lake Tahoe, though Trump has repeatedly denied the allegations. In October 2016, according to Cohen's testimony, he told Donald Trump that Daniels must be paid in order to quiet her claims ahead of Election Day the following month. He testified that he spoke with Trump and the Trump Organization's CFO, Alan Weisselberg, about how to fund the payment, with Weisselberg saying that he was not in a position to initially foot the bill. Cohen testified, "I ultimately said, okay, I'll pay it." Noting the urgency behind the matter as the election was just days away, Cohen described to the court that Daniels' claims would have been catastrophic to Mr. Trump and the campaign if he did not take control of the situation and iron out the NDA and payments to Ms. Daniels. Weisselberg, according to Cohen, said, "Don't worry, we'll make sure you get your money back." Cohen said he did not discuss the matter with his wife and decided to gather funds through a home equity line of credit instead of drawing the money from their personal account. He testified, "My wife was CEO of the household. She would not understand $130,000 missing from my joint account," he testified. Cohen and Weisselberg informed Trump that Cohen would be using his personal funds to front the payment, to which Trump responded, according to the testimony, "Good, good." Cohen said he was doing everything that I could and more in order to protect my boss, which is something I had done for a long time. But I would not hand out a $130,000 NDA for somebody else, he said. Cohen also said that he would not have proceeded with the payment to Daniels without Trump's approval first, arguing everything required Mr. Trump's sign-off. On top of that, I wanted the money back. The former Trump attorney continued his testimony yesterday that when opening a bank account with First Republic Bank in order to transfer the funds to Ms. Daniels, he fraudulently described the account as one that would deal with management consulting business. He argued to the court that he was not truthful regarding the intent of the account, saying that as he did not believe the bank would have allowed him to proceed if they had known that he was going to use the account to pay a former pornography star quiet money, basically. Cohen wired the funds to Daniel's attorney, Keith Davidson, telling the court that he marked the payment as a retainer even though it was to execute the NDA and to obtain exclusive rights to Ms. Daniels' claims. The funds were wired on October 27, 2016. New York versus Trump, of course, revolves around the alleged falsification of business records. Prosecutors say that Cohen paid Daniels $130,000 to quiet her claims of the alleged extramarital sexual encounter. The district attorney's office alleges that the Trump Organization then reimbursed Cohen and fraudulently logged the payments as legal expenses, and that they're working to prove that Trump falsified records with the intent to commit or conceal a second crime. Again, Trump has pled not guilty in the case. Trump has slammed the case as a scam promoted by the Biden administration ahead of the 2024 election and reminded the media yesterday that he's leading President Biden in battleground states all across the country. Trump said yesterday morning, "The New York Times just came out with a poll that shows us leading everywhere by a lot. This is the cover story, and I think you'll find it very interesting," he said, "but I'm sure you've all read it. Leading in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, Georgia, and Nevada. Nevada, we're leading actually by 12 points, which is generally a Democrat state," according to Trump and his discussion with the media. Yesterday in court follows Trump holding a massive rally that we talked about a bit in the historically deep blue state of New Jersey on Saturday, where it's estimated 100,000 people potentially join the president at this rally. That is unprecedented. That's unprecedented for any rally in any state, let alone one in New Jersey, which is supposed to be blue. Trump said yesterday, "I think we probably are leading in New Jersey. We had a rally over 100,000 people this weekend. A lot of the mainstream media didn't want to say how many people they didn't want to cover. But in fact, I hear the big crowd was not shown by the mainstream media anyway." Speaking on a panel on Fox News, constitutional law attorney Jonathan Turley says it's not a crime to get a non-disclosure agreement and argues that the prosecution is light years away from proving their case against Trump.
"Well, that's a good question, and it'll be a novel one for the judge to raise at some point. What are we talking about here? That is, you have someone who is representing a client who comes in saying, I'm going to take care of this, and this is how I've taken care of it, and the client saying, good, good, we'll make sure you're covered. Why is that a crime? You know, at the end of the day, Cohen is still discussing an arrangement that he came up with, he negotiated, and asking that his client should go to jail for doing something that he told him to do. Now, what's missing here is some notion of an intent to disguise or conceal a crime. It's not a crime to have an NDA. It's not a crime to try to get a story to go away. And in the case of Pecker, which he just referenced, Pecker said he was doing this for years before Trump ever thought of running for office, because that's what celebrities do. You had other witnesses who said, I think he did it because he really did not want to embarrass his family. He was also the host of a major television program, which has a clause in it, by the way, that you can lose the contract in scandal or controversy. So there's very likely a mix of different motives. But what you need for a crime is the intent to commit the crime. And that's what we're still light years away.
Also yesterday, Cohen admitted that he secretly recorded President Trump ahead of the 2016 election. He testified, and again, this was day 16 in the court, that he secretly recorded Trump on his iPhone on September the 6th, of 2016, just weeks before the general election. This was regarding a payment to former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. According to the testimony, Pecker had paid former Playboy model Karen McDougal $150,000 to purchase her story that she too had had an affair with Trump and to subsequently quiet her claims ahead of the election. So you had two things going on here. Mr. Pecker had pressed Cohen that Trump needed to pay him back, with Cohen secretly recording Trump on September the 6th of the election year as proof that Trump had planned to pay Mr. Pecker back, according to the testimony. Cohen added in that in addition to easing Mr. Pecker's mind that he would be repaid, he also made the recording in order to keep Pecker loyal to Trump. The recording was played for the jury, which included Cohen telling Trump that he needed to open up a company for the transfer of all that info regarding our friend David, of course, referring to David Pecker. In the recording, you hear Trump saying, "So what do we got to pay for this? $150? Asking the question. Cohen argued in his testimony that Trump knew Pecker had purchased the rights to McDougal's claims of an affair and agreed to pay the $150,000. He already knew based upon conversations with David, which is why he mentioned the number $150, according to Cohen's testimony. If you ever thought there was a little something shady about Michael Cohen before yesterday, you certainly know it now. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, Joey, at joeyhudson.com. Soon going to be 4 years ago that I started my journey with PhD weight loss and nutrition. I lost 30 pounds pretty quickly, I might add, and I've been able to maintain that for almost 4 years now. It'll be 4 years coming up in July. If this is the year that you have decided that you're going to get healthy, that you're going to lose that weight, that visceral fat that's so damaging around your waist, then now's the time to start. Let me encourage you to make that call today. 864-252-4925. Set up your initial consultation with PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition. Boy, am I glad that I met Dr. Ashley Lucas 4 years ago and that she got me on the right path to getting healthy. You're going to be able to do things that you may have thought you'd never be able to do again. Play with the kids, the grandkids, be able to hike and walk and maybe play a full 18-round hole of golf and be able to do it and not get so winded. Because when you take that excess weight off, you're just going to feel better. You're going to be able to focus. You're going to be able to sleep better. Your overall health is just going to be improved. 864-252-4925. Call, set up your initial consultation. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the official partner of the Clemson Tigers. I had a chance to be the co-moderator of a debate last night involving the two candidates for the 4th Congressional District of South Carolina, Congressman William Timmons, the present incumbent, and then challenger South Carolina Representative Adam Morgan last night. It was televised on Fox Carolina. If you missed it, just go to my Facebook page, search for Joey Hudson, and I've got some links on there too. But a lot of talk last night among the candidates about Bidenomics and the current economic status of our country. The dream of owning a home is becoming just that, a dream. This is according to the National Home Price Index. U.S. home prices have surged 47% since the start of 2020. Think about that, 47%. Now, this is good news, I guess, for those of us, and I'm one of them because I purchased a home a long time ago, and I've seen the value increase, and I'm happy. But what about those young families, the first-time home buyers, who haven't been able to purchase their home yet? To be a homeowner, it's about out of reach. 47.1% since 2020, easily outstripping the gains seen in recent decades, according to this study. The analysis by Resi Club of the Case-Shiller National Home Price Index shows that houses prices in the 1990s and the 2010s grew a respective 30.1% and 44.7%. On top of that, home price growth so far this decade is on the verge of surpassing all the growth seen in the 2000s. During that time period, housing prices skyrocketed 47.3%, according to the study, including an 80% spike before the 2007 housing market crash. Of course, we saw what prices did then. And it's concerning to me, are we headed to another crash? Can this sustain itself? There are a number of driving forces behind the spike, we're told. Years of underbuilding fueled a shortage of homes in the country, a problem that was later exacerbated by the rapid rise in mortgage rates these past couple of years. And because of inflation, of course, we've seen building materials, the price of building materials just explode. If you've been down to Lowe's lately and bought some 2x4s, some sheets of 4x8 plywood, OSB, shingles, everything, plumbing fixtures, tile, flooring, everything that goes at windows, doors, everything that goes into a house has seen an incredible price increase. Available home supply, according to the study, still remains down 34.3% from the typical amount before the COVID-19 pandemic beginning in 2020. This is according to a separate report published by Realtor.com. Higher mortgage rates, you got to factor those in too, over the past 3 years, have also created a golden handcuff effect in the housing market, according to those in the real estate business. Sellers who locked in a record low mortgage rate of 3% or less during the pandemic began having been reluctant to sell. They don't want to go anywhere. They're happy to sit right there on that 3% rather than potentially moving up to maybe a bigger home, but they don't want to have to pay the larger interest rates. This has limited supply further and has left fewer options for some of the would-be buyers, some of those first-time home buyers. Economists predict that mortgage rates are probably going to remain elevated through 2024 and that they'll only begin to fall once the Federal Reserve, of course, starts cutting rates, and there's no indication that that's going to happen anytime soon. I think we're stuck with interest rates being where they are at least through the election. Even then, according to bankers, those in the mortgage business, say that rates are unlikely to return to the lows seen during the pandemic for anytime soon. On top of that, investors are growing skeptical about the odds of a Fed rate hike this year, given the string of hotter-than-expected inflation reports at the beginning of the year. We're stuck where we are. Joe Biden doesn't like the hearing this either. He would love to see those rates come down a bit prior to election, but I don't think they are. And these studies by Realtor.com and these other groups seem to support that. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac said last week that the average rate on a 30-year loan fell to 7.09%, which is good, but that's down from the peak of 7.79% last fall in 2023. It's sharply higher than the pandemic-era lows of 3%. Now, think about that, 3% just a few years ago, just prior to Joe Biden taking office. And he wonders why the average American is having trouble believing him when he travels around the country talking about how Bidenomics is working. Bidenomics is not working for first-time home buyers. Bidenomics is not working for those families who have growing families and need a little bigger home, but they can't afford to do it because they can't afford the additional interest rates and the increase that makes in their monthly mortgage payment. According to the study, most homeowners say that they're nearly twice as willing to sell their home if mortgage rates are 5% or higher, according to a separate Zillow survey. Currently, about 80% of mortgage holders have a rate below 5% because the mortgage loan business right now is not very good. People aren't rushing out to purchase purchase a bigger home because they don't want to pay the additional interest rates. A separate survey, which was conducted by Redfin, shows that the combination of steep mortgage rates, elevated home prices, has pushed the median monthly housing payment to a record $2,775. That's an 11% increase from the same time 1 year ago, folks. Just 1 year ago. $2,775 a month. Who can afford to pay that type of mortgage and feed their family at the same time and put gasoline in their car? This is why I think we're going to see a big change come November. It's the old James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. The economy is not working for the average American. I don't care what Joe Biden says, it's just not working. Are we feeling good yet? Are you feeling good yet? Is Bidenomics working for you? I'd love to hear from you. Send me a quick text. Send me an email, joey@joeyhudson.com. Ask Uncle Joe if he believes his economic policies are working. Now, he's going to say yes, but of course, we know that he doesn't live in the real world, do we? He's out on the beach. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, Joey, at joeyhudson.com. Speaking of the Furman Ford text line, you know, it's never been more important to support locally run businesses owned by people who actually live here in the upstate. Let me take a minute to talk with you about our friends at Furman Ford. If you're looking for a new vehicle, maybe a great pre-owned vehicle, one you can trust, or maybe you're looking to order that special vehicle. Either way, if you want a new one, a brand new one, or a pre-owned that you can trust, the folks at Furman Ford, they're there to help you. Their name is on the sign because their name is on the line, because every single transaction is important to them. Jim Furman, Matthew Furman. They do business the right way. When you stop by, when you give them a call, or maybe when you just send them a quick email, you're always going to have access to a member of the Furman Ford family. And by the way, they also offer great service, and you're not going to have to wait weeks and weeks to get it done. And you do not have had to purchase your vehicle at Furman Ford. Doesn't even have to be a Ford. They service all makes and models. Visit my friends at Furman Ford online at FurmanFord.com, FurmanFord.com. While we're talking about affordability and Bidenomics, and we were talking a minute ago about how unaffordable the American dream is becoming because of high interest rates, California, according to a couple of Republican legislators, has a secret 50-cent gas tax hike coming in the next 2 years, again, according to Republican members of their legislature. Now, this isn't surprising. We know that California is wanting to make gasoline-powered vehicles obsolete. They can't just regulate them out of business, so they're going to make it to where it's almost unaffordable for Californians to fill their gasoline tank up, which would force them, potentially, I guess, to buy an electric vehicle. A long-standing emission reduction program is said to lead to a 50-cent increase in gasoline prices within 2 years in California, according to a little-known state air quality regulator report. Now, remember, gasoline prices are already just exorbitant in California to begin with. I mean, there are some areas that are paying $6, $7 a gallon. Now, imagine what it's going to be if you tack on another 50 cents next year, and they're saying that that could happen for the next several years, 50 cents a year. In September, the California Air Resources Board, known as CARB, the state's primary environmental regulator, reported gas prices will rise next year by about 50 cents a gallon and every year thereafter to aid in clean air efforts. The price increase does not include the existing gas tax in the state, according to the official. Republican State Senator Janet Nieguen, one of the legislature's most critical tax hawks, told Fox News Digital that the, quote, secret tax increase would penalize the majority of Californians. The middle class, the low income, they can't afford gas to go to school, work, or grocery, or to the doctor's office, the senator said. No one knows about this. I think people just think it's a tax, so they don't know that the difference between the carbon tax versus the state tax, it's almost like a tax on the tax. And look, Democrats have never seen a tax they didn't like, right? So of course, they're going to tax the tax. The report, according to the Republican members of the legislature, foresees gasoline price increases due to the low-carbon fuel standard reforms that were created back in 2007, likely rising by 47 cents next year and 52 cents by 2026. Diesel prices also are going up. They could climb 59 cents this year and another 66 cents in 2 years. Now think about what that's going to do to the price of every single item you purchase. Because everything you, when you go into a store and you buy groceries or you buy paper goods, whatever you buy, it's been on a truck at some point. And guess what trucks use? Trucks need diesel fuel. And if when diesel fuel goes up, then the truckers have to charge more for the freight, which means the product maker has to charge more for their product. It's just that simple. Long-term projections, according to this study, suggest that gasoline could surge by $1.15 and diesel by $1.50 per gallon from 2031 to 2046, with jet fuel increasing by $1.21. The Air Board staff later called the gas price projections incomplete in a recent report, focusing instead on the cost savings to drivers as more people transition to EVs. Yeah, they want you to think that switching to an electric vehicle is going to solve the issue. By the way, did you see the story about Hertz? You know how Hertz, when you rent a car, they ask you to, you have the option of purchasing the fuel option, which means that when you return the rental car, you either fill it up with fuel before you take it back, or you just take it back and let Hertz do it. Well, there's a story circulating where a couple had rented a car, and guess what? It was an electric vehicle. Now, the story doesn't say what kind of vehicle it is, so I'm not sure, but it was an all-electric vehicle. Some paperwork got confused, and this couple, they returned the car and they went on their merry way. A few days later, when they got their final charge, they saw where Hertz had charged them for the full fuel refill, for the fuel cost. So they call Hertz and say, well, you know, we did have an electric car, right? What fuel cost are you charging us for? Hertz, according to the story, would not back down. They would not refund them the money because it was on the agreement. And they said that they had seen the agreement, and when they signed it, they agreed to it. And they wouldn't refund their money, even though there was no fuel put in the vehicle. Just a side story. I mean, this is the craziness that we're living in today. So back to California trying to keep you from driving a gasoline-powered vehicle by just making gasoline so expensive you can't afford it. This report, as the CARB finalized new rules last month, mandates a rapid transition from traditional petroleum-powered transportation to zero-emissions alternatives as it pursues a sweeping climate agenda. CARB has identified passenger cars, heavy-duty trucking, freight trains, and harbor vessels for the changeover. So that's what they're going to target. Passenger cars, heavy-duty trucking, those 18-wheelers, trains, it's going to get more expensive to ride a train in California, and harbor vessels, the boats. California is also phasing out new gas-powered cars and mandating 100% electric vehicle sales by 2035. You're not going to be able to sell a gasoline vehicle in California after 2035 if this law is maintained. If the people of California don't rise up and defeat every one of these idiots in the legislature to get this changed. Now, you say, well, how does this affect me? That's California. I don't live in California. Well, there are about 20 other states so far that have adopted the same rules of California, meaning that 40% of the country could potentially be affected by this mandate to some extent. California's broad effort to electrify its transportation sector is part of the California climate commitment unveiled by Governor Newsom about 2 years ago. Under his plan, the state is phasing out reliance on fossil fuels, as we've heard, deploying green energy, cutting greenhouse gas emissions 85% by 2045, and decreasing oil demand by a staggering 94%, just almost eliminating it altogether. Governor Newsom last year said, "We can solve this climate crisis if we focus on the big, bold steps necessary to cut pollution. The only chance that we may have to survive this is if Congress steps in." And I never thought that I would say that. I never thought that I would want the United States Congress to step in and override something that a state does, because I believe that overall states should be allowed to make up their own rules. In this case, though, because so many other states have adopted the California standards, I think that probably Congress needs to step in and stop this idiocy. And they attempted to do that last year. Last fall, 8 House Democrats joined Republicans in voting to strike down California's electric vehicle mandate. The House voted in favor of legislation striking this down. It was a 222-190 vote. They approved the Preserving Choice in Vehicle Purchases Act, with 214 Republicans and 8 Democrats voting in favor of this bill. A group of several Republican lawmakers led by Representative John Joyce, he's a Republican from Pennsylvania, first introduced the bill, which has been endorsed by the energy industry, no surprise there, arguing that EV mandates would hurt the economy and violate consumer choice. You think it violates consumer choice? we won't have a choice. Joyce said, "The simple fact is that electric vehicles cannot meet the demands of my constituents." He told Fox News, "Coupling the mountains with the harsh winters and the intense heat of summers makes driving an electric vehicle both unreliable and ultimately unrealistic for many of my constituents. The legislation is H.R. 1435 is an option." He said it's not an anti-electric vehicle legislation. It's just a consumer choice legislation. Let the consumer decide what they want to buy. Let the market do what it does best. Let the market determine what people want to buy. The Preserving Choice in Vehicle Purchases Act would block the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, from issuing waivers to states seeking this. And there's a whole list of states that are wanting to follow California's lead on this. 17 other states have adopted California's plan. Let's just hope that ours doesn't do that anytime soon. This is just another example of the lunacy of this whole movement on climate change. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, joey@joeyhudson.com. Pete writes, "Lindsey Graham proudly served in the rear with the gear as a lawyer. He talks tough with everyone's life. He needs to pick up a weapon and stand a post. Such a clown." Chris says, "Do you know when early voting starts in South Carolina?" Well, yes, actually I do, Chris. If you're talking about in the primary, it starts May the 28th. Of course, that's for the June 11th primary. The South Carolina early voting laws say that early voting starts 15 days prior to election day through Saturday, 3 days prior to the election day. The hours are 8:30 to 6 p.m. They're closed on Sunday and state holidays. Susan writes, "Republicans need to get over their aversion to early voting. Democrats took advantage of this in the Arizona's 2022 gubernatorial election by messing up the machines in Maricopa on election day." Susan, I do agree with you. We do need to get over our distaste for early voting. We have to embrace it. I shared with you the column by Newt Gingrich yesterday, where he makes a very good argument that rather than complaining about early voting, Republicans just need to get with the program because it's not going away. A lot of states, including my state of South Carolina, including our neighboring states of North Carolina, Georgia, most all states, in fact, I think all states but two, I believe that's what I remember. New Hampshire was one of those, I forget the other. But all states but two have some form of early voting now, primarily because of the pandemic and what we face then. Susan's right. We need to get over our aversion to early voting and embrace it and do it better than the Democrats do. Joanne in Travers Rest says, "I think Speaker Johnson should go ahead with the bill to keep illegals from voting. Who cares if the argument is that the numbers in past elections was small? To me, this is to protect future elections. Biden has allowed 10 million across the border and has given them voter registration forms." Of course, we know that the South Carolina legislature passed a a bill that will allow us in November, one of the questions on our ballot, we'll have a referendum in South Carolina as to whether or not we want to allow non-citizens to vote in our elections. I have a feeling that one's going to win overwhelmingly. If you missed my yesterday's show, I had South Carolina Senator Josh Kimbrell on, who talked about early voting and the fact that South Carolinians are going to have a chance to vote on that. Jeff writes, Lindsey Graham, where do I begin? Sometimes I like him if it comes to war, or he's a snake in the grass. He did not like Trump. Then after his buddy passed away, he started kissing Trump's butt. He's out for nobody but himself. I'm assuming you're talking about McCain, Senator McCain, being his buddy. Faye writes on the text line, Morning, Joey. It's a slap in the face of Americans as the O'Biden regime talks about reducing Social Security and Medicare by 20%. In 2033. Another reason for Trump to go back as president. Vote as soon as possible. Not winning means no Republic, folks. Freedom will be gone forever. There will be no redo. Thank you, Faye. Appreciate your text as well. All your texts are welcome. I love to get your text messages. You can email me too, joey@joeyhudson.com. Text of encouragement today. Joel says, your present circumstances don't determine where you can go. They merely determine where you start. God bless. Thank you. Appreciate that, Joel. You know, a lot of talk has been made about being online and that being online could potentially hurt your health. I've read studies many times in the past, particularly with kids, but also adults as well. Well, a new study, and you know how that is, one day a study says something's bad, the next day a study says something's good. So take it with a grain of salt. But I think I kind of like this one. The new study says that being online actually is good for you. Spending time online may boost your well-being. The results of this large international study released this actually yesterday. Researchers at the University of Oxford examined 16 years of data from 2.4 million people tracking things like satisfaction and sense of purpose. They found that people with access to the web scored 8% higher in measures of well-being compared with those who do not have access to the internet. Maddie Varor, an experimental psychologist and researcher in the study, said in the May 13th results, we were surprised to find a positive correlation between well-being and internet use across the majority of the thousands of models we use for our analysts. The study mined Gallup World Poll data between the years 2006 and 2022. Researchers examined answers from over 2 million people from age 15 and up across 168 countries. The scope offered them a more zoomed-out perspective, according to the researchers, than previous studies where researchers focused primarily on young people in the U.S. and in Europe. Andrew Probosky, a psychologist and another researcher in the study, said, we set out to address this gap by analyzing how internet access, mobile internet access, and active internet use might predict psychological well-being on a global level across life stages. To our knowledge, no other research has directly grappled with these issues and addressed the worldwide scope of the debate. Look, I've always thought that having access to the internet and being on the web made me happier, made me feel better, because it's like instant gratification. You want to know something? You just look it up. Whereas in the past, you had to dig through books and various things. I mean, there's so much talk about AI and what AI could potentially do to us. And I get it. AI is probably going to be taking some jobs. I get that. But there's also a positive side to AI from the standpoint of just having things at your fingertips. I mean, if you've never queried in ChatGPT, you should try it. It's amazing what it will do. It's amazing the data you can get. It's amazing how it will complete your sentence for you. According to the two researchers, they found that the association between internet access and well-being were consistently positive. According to the study, people who had access to the internet reported greater life satisfaction, positive experiences, and social life satisfaction. They also reported lower scores in negative experiences than individuals who did not have access. And it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, I use my mother, for example, Nana Hudson. I've told you the story. You're going to listen to it again. How several years ago at Christmas, I bought Nana Hudson an iPad. She didn't want it. She left it in the box for months. Every time I'd go over, "Mother, you need to get the iPad." And I'd get it out and show her something. Finally, she started getting it out. And it's kind of interesting because I'd go over. I'd see where she had it out and where she'd been using it. And she'd ask me questions and I would teach her certain things with it. Now, I go over to visit with Nana Hudson. I have to tell her to put it down. Well, actually, I don't tell her. I ask her. I don't tell Nana Hudson anything. But it's sort of the joke in the family now that Nana Hudson, if I want to punish her, I'll take her iPad away from her because she loves that iPad. But what it amounts to is she's there alone a lot of the time. And this study makes sense. It's her access to the world. She loves Facebook, and that's about all she does, is she looks at photos and posts of Facebook from all of our family, her friends. She connects with people she hadn't connected with in a long, long time. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Send your comments to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a quick voice message, and your emails are always welcome, Joey, at joeyhudson.com. Whether you're replacing a broken appliance or maybe you're just upgrading, you're totally remodeling the kitchen, when it's time to get those new appliances, when you're ready for them, you don't want to have to wait weeks or even months to get started using them, right? Well, that's not the case when you shop with my friends at Discounted Appliance Warehouse. With over 11,000 square feet and 1,500 appliances at any given time, you can buy today and use today quite often. I'm talking about shopping with my friends at Discounted Appliance Warehouse in Pickens. It's worth the short drive over to Pickens. Jeff, Johnny, Kyle, the whole team over there, they'll take good care of you. They have an award-winning service department, expert installation, extended warranties, and at Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they treat you like family. You're more than just a credit card swipe to all the team over there. Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they're proud to offer Speed Queen, the only washer and dryers with manufacturer's warranties that cover parts and labor. You owe it to yourself if you're looking for a new appliance to head over to Pickens to Discounted Appliance Warehouse online at dawpickens.com, dawpickens.com. That's it for today's edition of Just the Truth. Thanks for joining me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. If you haven't joined our mailing list yet, visit my website, joeyhudson.com. Just click on the Connect with Joey button so that you can receive our emails and the most up-to-date news. Also, find me on YouTube. Be sure and like, subscribe, follow me on my YouTube channel. Just search for Joey Hudson. Appreciate you spending a few minutes of your day with me. Be sure and forward this edition of Just the Truth to some friends. Just click on the share button. Send it to a few of your contacts, because if we're going to build our community and we're going to win in the June primaries, and if we're going to win in November especially, we got to build an army of conservatives. The way we beat Joe Biden is through educating people, and no better way than encouraging them to listen to Just the Truth. Hey, keep those comments coming via the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your emails always welcome as well. Joey at joeyhudson.com. We're back again tomorrow. Hope you will be too. Remember, God's got this. He's still in control.